Today's lesson comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and it begins in the 13th verse. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wonder if some of you all, like me, could get lost as a kid in a good book. I can remember several times where my parents would see me reading. It was late at night, and they'd say, it's time for bed. And I would heartily agree, and I would get up, and I would shut the door, and I would turn out the lights, and I would get in bed, and I would pull the covers up over my head and pull out a flashlight and continue on with my reading until finally my eyes would give out. I wonder if in some ways when Jesus says in Matthew 5 that we are the light of the world, if that's not what he's calling us to be, like a flashlight under the covers helping a book be read, only the book isn't any old book, the book is the word. In the way we live out our lives, we are called to help those around us to see the word. Now, if you are a Bible reader, you might find your insides a little bit conflicted this morning, because you might recall that this isn't the only place where the phrase light of the world is used. In fact, there's another section in John chapter 8. Jesus says, "He is the light of the world. I am the light of the world," Jesus says. So you get this conflicted moment here where on the one hand, Jesus says he is the light of the world, and then on the other hand, later he says that we are the light of the world. Which is it? Well, to answer that question, I would turn to the eminent theologian William Lona Alexander, my grandfather, who at major holidays had a brilliant response to such conundrums. When he would be presented options such as, "Pawpaw, would you like pecan pie or lemon meringue pie or chocolate cake?" he would respond, "Yup." And so, are we the light of the world, or is Jesus the light of the world? And the answer is yup. Both things can be true at once. And it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing, because while we recognize that Jesus is the light of the world, while we recognize he is the Word made flesh, and we need to be shaped by the light of the world and shaped by the Word made flesh, we don't fully find ourselves comprehending who Jesus is without the assistance of the saints around us. It is very hard to fully understand the light of the world without someone else being the light of the world to help us, to illumine us, and to help us understand who exactly Jesus is. And so part of our calling is to be fully shaped by the word, fully shaped by the light, even as we reflect the word and reflect that light. Today, All Saints Sunday, is a perfect time to consider those who have been like flashlights under the blanket for us. In our tradition, in the United Methodist tradition, and in the Protestant tradition more largely, saints are not perfect people who have performed documentable miracles that a priest goes and investigates. That's not how we do it. For us, our belief is that saints are those who help us to see better. Saints are the light of the world who help us to see better. And I would say in the United Methodist tradition, my belief really is that pastors are particularly in need of special help. That's why they move us around. You normal people, one church is enough for you. We pastors need a little bit of remedial assistance. And so over time, we see the light of the world illumine the scriptures through all the different places we get to go. Jesus said one time, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Bobby was a member of one of my previous churches who had some developmental delays. He lived in a group home, and he had been somewhat adopted by a Sunday school class, and they made sure he was able to come and worship. Now, I am pretty sure that that Bobby would not have been able to go home and recite an explanation of the sermon. He may not have understood what Scripture had been preached and proclaimed, but he did identify with the one thing in the Christian faith that completely resonated with his heart: Christmas. Bobby understood Christmas, and it was incredible. You could say to Bobby, it didn't matter what day of the year it was, if you said, "Hey, Bobby, how many days till Christmas?" he would give you the exact answer. If he were here today, he would say 53 days. Some of you are gone now. 53 days. Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Bobby was the light of the world. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, but treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." John called me up one day and said he wanted to talk to me. He was a young father with three kids in the house, and came in, sat down in my office, and said, I need to tell you, I just found out I lost my job and was told I need to find new work. They gave me a severance check. And he said, "But I need to tell you, I feel called to tithe my severance check." That was the hardest check I've ever accepted, because I really did not want him to give any of that money that he needed to care for his family. But he was convinced that his faith needed him to take a step to show to himself where his treasure was. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." John was the light of the world. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Mindy was a single mom with four little girls that lived about 25 minutes away from the church. And every Sunday, she would pile those girls into her van and get them into a pew. Now, I cannot imagine the number of outfit changes that occurred with four girls before church every single Sunday. I cannot imagine her Herculean effort to silence the fidgets in that pew. But she was determined that her four girls would receive the word. "Let the little children come to me," Jesus said, "and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Mindy was the light of the world. Jesus said, "You have heard it said of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment." Miss Jean was a matriarch in one of my churches that had been at that church for longer than I had been alive. And she and I had a little bit of a disagreement, you might say, where I wanted to go one direction and she wanted to go another direction. And she did not appreciate my perspective on the matter. And she was none too pleased with yours truly. Well, a few weeks after we had had that disagreement, it was shared in the church that the eminent theologian William Lona Alexander, my grandfather, had died. And it was the first time that I ever presided over a family member's funeral. And as I got up in that pulpit to begin that service, I noticed out in the pews was Miss Jean. Jesus says, "I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment." Miss Jean was the light of the world. Jesus says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets." Daryl's wife had an early diagnosis of dementia, and she was just in her 50s, and her decline was steep. And Daryl set aside work, he set aside travel, he set aside everything to care for her. And his friends would protest and say, "Daryl, there are some different ways that you can do this." And he would dismiss any praise a friend offered and just say this: "If the roles were reversed, I know she would do the same for me." Jesus says, "In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you." Daryl was the light of the world. Friends, today as we remember saints who are members of this church and the saints in all of our lives, we are reminded of those who have helped make the word visible, who have shined on God's word like a flashlight and helped us to see. And we're also called to remember the ways that we might do the same for others. John's gospel begins with the incredible, famous passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word shapes us with Jesus' words. The light enlightens us. But then we are called to share the words. We are called to share the light. All of us have been touched by saints who have gone before us and been the light of the world, and we are also called to be saints who share and who are the light of the world. By God's grace, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. By God's grace, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. May we be saints who are that light. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.